Good to be here with you this evening. And yes, it is the same name of my wife. And it's a good thing. It's easy to remember. It's the easiest minister to ask how his wife is, because his wife's name is Cherie as well. We're going to turn to the Bible this evening, the Word of God, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. And we're going to read a few verses in this portion of Scripture. And the Lord has led us to this passage of Scripture. And we trust that as we do preach God's precious and fallible truth, that there will be signs following the preaching even this night. Let's read the Word of God from Matthew chapter number 9. And we're going just to read those few verses at the very end of this chapter, and verse number 35. And let's read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, He will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's just seek the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we gather again into thy presence this night, we thank thee for enabling us to preach thy precious and fallible truth. Lord, it is a joy and privilege to be able to preach, O Lord, thy word. As we gather here, I pray for everyone that's sitting in this gathering here, we pray that you'll speak to their hearts. Move upon them, Lord, we pray. Help them, O God, to have that keen ear to the Word of God. Take away any distraction, O Lord, and close us in with Thee for this final moments of this meeting. Lord, help this preacher, I pray, Lord, knowing that I can do nothing of myself for just clay and bones. Lord, I pray and ask for power. Stand at this preacher's elbow and use us Thy honor and glory this night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this chapter 9, we find that the Savior is going through the villages and the towns. And he's bringing the good news of God's salvation to many people. It comes with a word that is right in season, right for the heart, and needed for a generation, just as God's word is needed for this generation today. Bad news often travels very fast. But the good news is what people need to hear. The best news that anyone ever could hear is that they can be born again through the saving grace in Christ Jesus. But this chapter points us to the wondrous work of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth, and the blessings that many people saw firsthand of the mighty works of God. Some laughed at his glorious message. You find that in verse 24. But then the hand of God moves, and they stop laughing because they find, truly this is the Son of God, when they see verse 25. In verse 27, you find two men come to seek and to see him. You find he challenges them. Verse 28, he saw their heart, and they believed. Verse 32, there's a man possessed of a devil. He brought him to him. In verse 33, this man is made whole. The devil is cast out. And I want you to see those words at the end of verse number 33. It says, it was never so seen in Israel. Isn't this the Christ? As we gather here, as you listen to our voice, I trust that if you're an unsaved person or maybe in a backslidden state, that this will be a message right for you this night. But I also trust that it will be a message in season for the believer. Because as we come to the close of this word, I want to encourage you to keep on going. When we come to these verses, verse 36 in the passage, we find that a nation needs a Savior and needs salvation. And as we look around Northern Ireland today, We see that the harvest truly is plenteous, when there's many people, but the laborers are few. There's many people going out into a lost eternity. But at this time of year, we're reminded of the reaping. And that law, a day when many will no longer be here. As Christ looks upon the people, there's a great need before us. And if you go with me just for a few moments to the end of this meeting, I want to look on the subject of the harvest that the Savior saw. The harvest that the Savior saw, and three little things that come out of this passage of Scripture. The first one is, the harvest that the Savior saw, it shows us a compassionate Savior. A compassionate Savior. Because the harvest that the Savior saw moved him with compassion towards the people. Look at verse 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them. And I want you to think of the picture here as Christ is gazing in the direction of the people. And as he does, Christ has compassion for them as they wander about. And the reason he did here was because many were lost. They were living their lives and they needed Christ to touch their hearts. And the people were wandering about, as it were, going out into a lost eternity. Christ looks and gazes. He says, I see the multitude, but of compassion. I want you to think of the compassionate Savior there in that passage. Because as he gazes upon them, his heart is stirred for them. His heart loves them and he looks upon them. Maybe those people have been people that's heard about religion. They've had religion before. They maybe heard a word. They maybe heard something from somebody. Maybe it's been lost on them, or maybe they're confused about religion. But Christ looks at them in verse 36 and he sees them differently than any one of us see. Because Christ wasn't counting the numbers. Christ had compassion for them. And as Christ is gazing, what it means is that Christ had his eyes centered upon the needs of the people. And when his eyes were centered among the needs of the people, what happened? The Bible says he had compassion, or his heart melted for them. But why? Because they're sinners. Because they're lost and before a holy and righteous God. And he looked upon the unsaved and Bible says they had compassion. Maybe for you this evening as you gather in the Lord's house, maybe you're gathered this evening and you're saying, I wonder, does God have compassion for my soul? I want you to be aware that the passionate, compassionate Savior is calling out to you saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. The day the Savior walked upon the earth, there were many religious people. There are many teachers as such that were against him. And I have to say, there's so many of those today. And many are against the message of Christ. But here, he had compassion that they would hear him. If you look through the New Testament, you'll find that Christ, occasion after occasion, the people desired to listen to what Christ had to say. They desired to hear God's precious and unfallible truth. They wanted to hear him teach them. He wanted to hear him speak to them. And in the midst of him doing such a great work amongst the people in this passage, as people coming to him, there we find that he sees a multitude. And his compassion. And do you know what he saw? He saw they're unhappy. He saw they weren't a happy bunch of people. And he sees also that they've got no hope. He sees that they're gazing, they're wandering around as sheep having no shepherd, and they've no hope. If you read that verse again yourself, just a few moments, look at it, you'll find that they have emptiness. They have emptiness. They lack spirituality. But Christ touched with the feelings of their infirmities. And the merciful high priest, the good shepherd, was concerned for their souls. And men, women, and children, as Christ gazed upon them, He sees their problem. And the Bible says they fainted. They fainted. Let me just add that they fainted because they lacked spirituality. They were fatigued. They were tired. In fact, they lacked a shepherd. Because Christ gazed upon them, says they were as sheep having no shepherd. It really means that they've been led astray. They're led astray from the things of God. And Christ looks upon them. And I want you to gaze with us this evening as Christ looks upon them with compassion. And here he's got sympathetic heart towards them. You see, they're lost. One of the saddest things to know is that as we look around this land today and as Christ gazed upon the multitudes in that day, the people didn't even know it. The people didn't even know it. And because they didn't know it, just like people today, we are to be a people who tell them of the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves. I read of a story once of a man who was on one of an airplane. I see Charles going away tomorrow on the airplane. And I've got four children of my own, so I understand. But children, sometimes they cry in the airplane. And it happens. Sometimes you get a sore head yourself on the airplane. And maybe you cry out. But it was a story once was said of a man. It was a mother who had a child on an airplane. And when she was gathered in the plane, the child started to cry. And nobody could stop the child from crying. When all of a sudden, this man walked from the first class. He should have been there at the beginning, I think. And he walks down from first class, comes, asks the mother, can I take the child? And within seconds, the child stops crying. One after one, we find that each one of the people there come up to him and say, thank you very much. Thank you for what you did for us. This was his reply. I didn't do it for us. I did it for them who needed it. And that's the same that applies for each and every one of us. Christ was moved with compassion because as he looked at the harvest field of your life, not somebody else's life, but of your life, Christ saw that you needed a Savior. And Christ had compassion. And what does Christ do? He bids you to come to him. The harvest that Christ saw quickly, because time's going on very quickly this evening. The harvest that Christ saw, the Savior saw, shows the concern he had for people's needs. There's a concern, Savior. A concern, Savior. You see, there was a great need. Look at verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved on with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. See, in the midst of all these people gathered around, the Savior who was concerned, the Savior was caring, and the Savior saw the great need. And he saw they had no shepherd. Isn't it wonderful in this passage to think of the good shepherd, the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, looking upon these people with compassion upon his heart and desiring that they would have a shepherd. See, he cared for them. If you turn over to Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find a words for your heart. Ezekiel chapter number 34. I want you to read with me verse number 6 in this passage. And we find, just as the Savior was speaking about the sheep, look at verse number 6 of Ezekiel 34. My sheep wander through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Then look over in verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Then look at verse number 26. And I will make them, and the places around about my hill, a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. there shall be showers of a blessing. And as Christ gazes upon the people, as he looks upon them, he sees the potential in their lives, and he looks upon them, and he's come at the right time. As he looked towards them, he says, there's showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. The scripture tells us that Christ has power to forgive their sins, and he concerned himself in regards to these people. He concerned himself. He concerned himself for the people. You say, where does he see that Christ the power to forgive their sins? Look at verse 6 of the same chapter of Matthew 9. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Praise God, he has power on earth to forgive us sins. And he's concerned. And he's concerned himself with the people and the harvest that Christ saw brought it to the attention of himself. And it brought his attention towards their lives. But you know what else he did? He brought it to the attention of those around about him. As Christ looked upon the people, he says, now, disciples, give me a second of your time. Look in the fields. Look in the fields, disciples. He says, I need you to do work. It's verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Or the harvest is large. But the laborers, he says, the laborers are few. And the Lord's placing the concern, not only in his own heart, but he's placing the concern upon the hearts of the disciples. The very men that stood around about him. The very disciples that walked everywhere with him. Christ then turns their eyes to gaze upon these people, just in case they haven't grasped it yet, that there's many which need the Savior. And I wonder this evening, have we grasped it? There's many around our neighborhoods. And there's many persons in your community which do not know Christ. Have you lifted up your eyes and looked upon the harvest fields? Have you reached them? And that doesn't just go to Northern Ireland. It goes beyond. You've one of your own that goes to Perth, Free Church. It went far away to have to get away from you, brother. She went far away to go over to Perth. My aunt would love to go there, but she lives an hour and a half away from them. It's just so far away. In the same city. But you know, the reality is, as we gaze upon them, and Chera said it right, you must pray for her there just as you pray for people here. She prays for people in Carrickfergus and prays for people in Kilkeel. That we see that the Lord, we see with the same vision that these people are going out into a lost eternity. And we have a Savior who's willing and ready to save him. And he looks at the disciples and he tells them, he says, here, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he says, there's people there that need to be fed spiritually. And there's people there that need the food, spiritual food, that they'll come to have eternal life. And he was telling them as he saw, as they looked upon it, at the harvest field, putting into their minds the need for the people, just as the hymn says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I love this verse. Snatch them from pity, from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, who's mighty to save. He says, look on the fields, disciple. Turn your eyes away from other things. He said it in John 4. Look on the fields, for they're white and ready to harvest. As Christ speaks to the disciples, saying that there are many people going out to a lost eternity, and he says, won't you help them? Remember, there's a time of harvest, but time is short. Humanly, we only have a short period of time in this life, in this world. We need to be going out to the harvest field, because here's a compassionate Savior. He is the living word, the bread of life. And as he gazes upon them and sees them, He's a desire that not only would his heart have compassion, not only would he care, but that the disciples cared as well. They had a concern. And the harvest, and I grew up, and my granddad was a farmer. He was a farmer, and also he cut down trees as well. I always remember seeing the trees fall, wonder what was going on. Then my dad would say, "That's granddad out there cutting those trees down." Lumberjack and the lorries coming across and taking the trees. But you know, there's only a period of time for harvest. There's only a period of time for getting in, and only a short time for the farmer to bring the harvest in. Friend, your life's very, very short. And God's giving you an opening tonight. Are you taking it? The Savior says the harvest is plenteous. There's a large amount of people that need to hear the gospel. Where at? In Kilkenny. In Annalong. In Newcastle. Let me say Carrickfergus and beyond. In cities, towns, villages. In other places, there's plenty of people not going to heaven. There's many of people who are unsaved. And there's an appointed time. And as there's appointed weeks of harvest, there's a time of harvest to be gathered in. So there's a certain fixed time, settled by the purpose of God for the effectual calling of a calling and conversion of people. And Christ points his disciples to them and he says, "Look upon them. Salvation's of the Lord." I'm sure many of you heard of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody talks a story of his conversion. And I want to encourage those believers who are telling others about the things of God. Because as D.L. Moody told it, he said these words, "When I was in Boston, I used to attend a Sunday school class. One day, I recollect a teacher came around behind the counters of a shop where I worked in. All he did was place his hand on my shoulder and asked me, how was I before the Lord? As he talked to him about Christ and about his soul, it says that he had not felt the pulling of the strings of his heart ever before in that moment. He said, "That's a very strange thing. There was a man who loved my soul. There was a man who was weeping over my sins, and I never shed a tear about them." He says, "But now I understand and know what it means to have compassion and weep over souls for their sins." He said, "I can still feel that man's hand and the power that God gave within it." The power. I wonder this evening, is God pressing upon you? The concern of a godly individual in your life, a concern of a godly teacher, resulted in the conversion of a great man, evangelical minister of the gospel. But is there a concern in your life this evening? Have you caught the burden to reach souls for the Savior? Are you happy? Or are you happy that you're just saved and you don't care that souls are going into a lost eternity? You see, there's harvest field here. The harvest is at hand. Pray therefore, because there's nothing better than being used of God to reach and pluck, as it were, a brand from the burning and then to be set free very, very, very quickly. He calls out. He says, "We find we have a Savior." He calls out to his people. Verse 38, it says, "Pray ye therefore, Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Call upon the Lord in a time of harvest. Pray. We're told, "Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest," and this is a command, to pray that God would send forth laborers to reach the people with the needs, that their needs are met, that they'd have satisfaction in the only Redeemer, Jesus Christ. To do that, you need to go into those harvest fields. But why? Because they're ready. The time has come. They're ready to harvest. You see, Christ saw the condition of the people spiritually. And just as we recognize the same about them, maybe someone this evening, there's a person around about you, they recognize that you're still unsaved. And they've been praying for you for such a long time. They love you. That's why they've brought you along to the meeting this evening. They love you. They have compassion upon their heart. And they desire that you reach for Christ. And that person recognizes that being a disciple isn't enough just sitting in church. But a disciple is going out and reaching people for Christ. Christ commands them to request helpers. Get more people to tell about the wondrous message about God. More people to give the news to the unsaved. Maybe somebody's lacked spirituality for a long time. Won't you come to Christ this evening and change your life forever? C.S. Spurgeon gives the illustration of one time he was going along to call to come and see someone in Nottingham. This man's wife, sinful man, needed a preacher. His wife was dying. He called along to see her. He went. And as he gazed upon her, he saw the rejoicing in her face, the joy in her heart. You see, this woman had found Christ. He asked her the question, "How did you find Christ?" And he says, "By reading that." Spurgeon looked at that little bit of paper and he discovered it was a part of an American newspaper containing an extract from one of his sermons. That sermon he had preached in London. He asked, "Where did you find it?" Her answer, "I was sent it by parcel from Australia." And I want you to think of that. Think of how the message of God's salvation was preached in London, written in a paper in America, sent back to England via Australia to reach a needy soul for Christ Jesus. Make no mistake, when you receive the invitation of God's salvation, and if you received it for maybe for these meetings here this night, and you received it into your door, it was a call for you to come to know Christ. I want to say this evening as we close this meeting in a few moments, don't miss God's call. I asked you this harvest time, won't you step out in faith? Say, "I am part of that harvest field. Preacher, I'm ready. Ready for the reaping. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ." If that's you this evening, why don't you just come to know Jesus Christ, who's life eternal? You see, God's able. And you're ready to come. We have come to the harvest time. It's plenteous. Laborers are few. But pray. Pray to the only one who is compassionate and who's caring. The Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. I trust the Lord will speak to your heart. The Lord will save your precious soul.
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please, in closing. And thank God's servant for coming tonight, bringing that word to our heart. Word there for the saint and for the sinner. Our prayer is that God, by His Spirit, would write it upon your soul. And tonight, sinner, you'd come, seek the Lord. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious truth. We thank the Lord for the compassionate Savior. He saw the great multitudes and compassion on them. Thank the Lord for Thy great love. And that Christ came to walk amongst sinful men. One day He might lay down His life for them. Lord, we can say to the sinner tonight, Savior is still compassionate toward them. While He hates their sin, loves their soul. And oh God, there's a concern For they are those that are scattered abroad, have no shepherd, no hope. Lord, we pray, closing seconds of this meeting, thou would speak. They might hear that effectual call. This is the way. Walk ye in it. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to thy children. There's a challenge for us here. To pray ye unto the Lord of the harvest. There's a challenge for us, Lord, in recognizing. We're not to say yet there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. But we are like those disciples in another passage to lift up our eyes. To realize the fields are ready or white on the harvest. O God, have mercy. Quicken thy saints. Save the lost. Part us with thy blessing tonight. For those that will leave at this time, go before them. For the remainder that will gather for a further time of prayer, come upon us. Bless this night. May the news be that loved one having got saved. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake, for God's great eternal glory. Amen.